With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to The Tack Show. We are your hosts. I'm Remington.
And I'm Chase.
And today, we're going to talk about Halloween.
And how I need a haircut, man. Look at this. My hair's like bulging here. Yeah, does that when I need a haircut?
It's graying and falling out.
I know.
And bulging.
I need a haircut.
So Halloween is a holiday, and it's coming up soon.
Yeah, less than a week.
So before we push the record button, we started talking about razor blades in food and how to put them in properly so people won't notice.
And I went, dude, razor blades ain't that small. See, I've got a, my razor is a double-edged safety razor. They're about yay long and about that wide.
You're talking like a box cutter?
No.
You shave your face with a like a 1 inch by 1 inch razor?
It's a blade about yay big. Okay. 1 inch by inch and a half maybe.
And you shave your face with that?
Yeah.
Then mine, like the blades are like 3 millimeters wide by like an inch long. And there's like five of them in a thing. You just take it out. You stick it in the candy.
How are you going to get that out of that disposable razor?
Pliers.
Those do not come out easily. And the razor blade is going to be all sliced up by then.
Yeah, but pliers, man. Pliers.
How are you going to get the nose of the pliers in between those things?
You can. So you're going to break the plastic binding, right? You're going to break the plastic frame, and then you're just going to pull them out with pliers, and then you're just going to hold it in the pliers and stick it down in, and then use the tip of the pliers to push it all the way into the candy. It's really straightforward.
And that leads to the more important question. Why have you thought about this long?
It didn't take me long. This just came to me right now. I'm just a problem solver. I solve problems. You brought that problem up.
And my problem or my question was not about...
Chase, you wanted to know how to put razor blades in kids' candy. You asked me that as soon as I pushed the record button. I introduced us and you said, how do we put razor blades in kids' candy? And I just explained how. Like, why you would do that is a totally different thing.
No. Why my question isn't about, well, why did you answer my question? It's, why did you have a ready-made answer to that question?
Bro, I said this just like 10 minutes ago. I'm the ideas guy. I'm good at problem solving. That's what we do. Do you know what I mean? That's what we do.
Don't send your kids to Remington's house for candy.
Don't put razor blades in children's candy or adult candy. Just don't even, yes, you can do it, but you shouldn't. Fair?
It is illegal and very damaging.
Aside from being illegal, I mean, that is just horrible. That's a bad thing to do. Don't be a bad person. That's fair, right? Don't be a bad person on Halloween. Halloween is a time for festivities.
But what about the rest of the year?
Well, the rest of the year, yeah. I mean, like, load them up with razor blades. Put them in, like, the
oh
apples.
Oh, my gosh.
Send your kids to school with an apple to give to the teacher that's
no!
full of razor blades or whatever. I don't know. Like, it'll help shave your insides. You know, it's like two birds, one stone. Problem solving. You know, be like, oh, my belly has been really hairy on the inside. It's like, dude, razor blade in an apple. There you go. Problem solved.
Well done.
Thank you. All right, and that's been this episode of The Tack Show. Stay dangerous. That just took on a whole new meaning there. And by stay dangerous, clearly I mean by load up your apples with razor blades.
Wow.
Talking about apples, there is, I saw this guy make it. I think I'm going to do it a little bit differently.
Okay.
But I like to take food.
Cooking.
We're going to talk about cooking.
That's what we're talking about.
We're going to talk about cooking. Not with razor blades.
Is it Halloween cooking?
This one could be considered harvest time cooking.
Okay.
Does that count as Halloween? Harvest time cooking?
I think it's about as close to Halloween cooking as you're going to get.
Okay.
Now, as a side note, your neighbor has the loudest motorcycle, dude.
So check this out. My neighbor, his bike, went over to the other day. I was barbecuing, as I am often wont to do.
We did not take long to get back to cooking, guys.
And, well, we're talking about cooking, but we're just taking a side note to talk about this, my neighbor's motorcycle. So the exhaust pipe on it, it looks really cool. It's got this design with kind of these pointy edges, kind of looks like flame sort of. But then on the end, it comes out to a sharp point that comes up. And he said three times when he's mounted that bike, he's gashed a huge gash in his leg from that pointy edge. And he did the third one just like 2 days ago. And he said like he like bled and it was like he said the second time he was like sloshing around like with like every step he took like away from the bike was like a pool of blood. Yeah, he said the first two times when he did it, it was like pew, like shot a stream out.
Here's your sign to take that exhaust pipe off your bike.
Yeah, I was like, so should we grab the grinder and knock that down? He's like, well, yeah, here's the thing. My son wants to buy the bike from me, so
I'll let him get like, gashed.
If I was keeping it, I'd do it, but it's like, all right, man. It's like a razor blade in an apple, but for your motorcycle, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a thing, but if you're going to do that kind of thing, just do it to yourself. But also be mindful that kids love apples. So anyway, that reminds me of what I was going to talk about, my harvest time food that I'm planning on making.
Yes, but real quick, where I was going with this, that motorcycle drove by. It was so loud, it maxed out that red bar through your double insulation. Dude, that is a loud motorcycle. Cars are driving past constantly, I'm sure, and we can't even hear them.
Yeah.
That motorcycle is so loud, it maxed out our microphones.
It's fairly loud, yeah.
Good grief.
So, and if you guys barbecue or you like to experiment with food, try this out, and maybe we can kind of compare recipes. But here's what I want to do. Caramel apple-inspired pork rib or pork belly. Okay? So this last rib that I made, how was it?
It was delicious. I will stand by that it was absolutely delicious. I ate some of it today, and that was not fresh. That was a couple days old?
Yesterday I made it.
Oh, last night? Okay. So it wasn't, it was the next day, not fresh, but oh my goodness, it was very good. Ribs aren't something that I eat very often. When asked if I want ribs for dinner, I usually say no, but that was delicious.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, so candy, like caramel apple inspired. So this one that I recently made, I dry rubbed with like salt, garlic, pepper. I kept it pretty basic. I didn't put a whole lot of different herbs and spices. I think onion, I think it
a
did.
A spoonful of sugar?
Not at that point. But then I did it with the dry rub, and then I finished it with basically a simple syrup that I made that I boosted with shoyu and...
That's soy sauce?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Soy sauce. I don't want to say there was another ingredient, but I kept it fairly simple. It was just like dark brown sugar. Oh, apple juice, dark brown sugar, and soy sauce.
Okay.
And I did a reduction until it was like a syrup. Or I did a simple syrup and then reduced that to a thicker syrup. You know how to make a simple syrup?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, so then after I did the first cooking on it to get my my dry rub into a regular good bark, then I rolled it in. Well, then I did that hot roast that I did on it, right? The hot grill. Yeah. And then I rolled it in that syrup, coated it all nice and good, and set that. And so you get that like that savory and then that sweet, which made a really nice combination. I was going for like kind of Korean inspired. And it was actually the second sauce I made. I made one sauce, but I realized like in some recipes where you can use like fresh garlic, you can't use powdered garlic. It just doesn't act the same in its flavor profile. There's a lot of ways you can use powdered garlic and it's great, but when you're making like a sugar sauce, I don't recommend using powdered garlic. That's just like, it's never gone right for me when I've done it. And so anyway, so I made that. So what I'm thinking for this one is I'm thinking of like soaking it or marinating it kind of like in apple juice and probably something to like help soak it in a little bit, some salt or something like that, and getting that apple flavor really into it, and then taking freeze-dried or just dried. I have a dehydrator, so I might just cut up some apples and use that and then blend them up by using apple powder. So apple powder, salt, pepper, and maybe some garlic for my dry rub.
Okay.
And go like really apple heavy on it. And then for my, and then do the same process that I did, because I really like how that turned out.
Yeah.
And then instead of that black syrup that I made, I'll do like a classic milk caramel, like a butter caramel with the dark brown sugar. Dude, I use dark brown sugar for almost everything. It's like my go-to. I love dark brown sugar because like white sugar is just a sweetener.
Mm-hmm.
Light brown sugar is a sweetener with a little bit of flavor. Medium brown sugar, kind of the same thing, but you're getting there. Dark brown sugar is both a sweetener and a flavor. It's a flavor in and of itself. If you don't want to add any flavor, you want to keep something level to where it's exactly at, you know, such as, say, like you're making a lemon cake and you don't want it to have any kind of nuttiness to it, then you'd go with the white sugar. But if you like to have that kind of nutty, caramely flavor with something, go with the darkest brown sugar you can get. I was wishing yesterday I'd had some molasses. Actually, I wanted to put some molasses in my chili. The store was sold out of molasses, so I couldn't get any.
Okay.
But I basically made a variation of that with my syrup that I made. But anyway, so do like a classic caramel sauce. You know what I mean? Those classic, those butter, sugar, maybe cream, just really classic. And then do that same thing, coat it in that and set that. So you've got that apple that it's been soaking in, and then it's got the dry apple rub on it, and then you cover it with the caramel sauce. And the thing is, like, that might not necessarily work with something like beef. Maybe it could with chicken if you deep fry the chicken, because sometimes when you deep fry chicken, you can really get all kinds of sweet flavors on it. And mm-hmm. that's what we see a lot with Chinese food and Hawaiian food, is a lot of those sweet flavors on fried chicken. And I think the sweet flavors go better on fried chicken than, say, like a grilled chicken, but that's just me. You can eat sweet flavors on grilled chicken, too. I know, like, Korean-inspired stuff and Japanese chicken is great on non-breaded chicken, but I'm a big fan of really syrupy Asian style fried chicken. But anyway, but pork can handle sugar like nobody's business. Like, you can inject sugar into pork, you can roll it in sugar and caramel and all that goodness. You can make a pork chop and scoop up applesauce with it. That's the beauty of pork, is you can treat it like candy and it's still going to be really good. A good example of this is maple bacon, right? Maple bacon, it's like maple cured. And some people even like pour bacon on their, or pour maple syrup on their bacon. Or if they're just eating pancakes or whatever, you've got the bacon, you put it in the syrup, you got that saltiness, but then you've got that really strong sweetness. It's not just like, oh, it's mildly sweet, you know, like just if you don't add the syrup to it. But you can do all kinds of stuff like that. Honey ham is another example. You know, like a bourbon glazed ham is super sweet and rich. And so pork is one of those meats that can really take on sweetness and still be an acceptable meat to eat. And some people don't like that. My brother, he's not a big fan of sweetened meats, but I'm all about it. I love it. And so I'm thinking that the caramel flavor would really mesh well with the apple, and I think that it'll go nicely in that method that I used yesterday. That being said, my biggest concern, honestly, is infusing enough apple flavor into the meat.
Yeah.
Because, like, you can marinate, yeah, and, like, you could even reduce the apple juice or use an apple juice concentrate, which actually might be the way to go. Use an apple juice concentrate and marinate it in that, maybe with a little apple cider vinegar just to help it bring in. Or if I had some apple, like apple liquor or something, apple schnapps or something like that to help bring that together. Because I really like using alcohol in my sugar sauces. I think it just works really, really well. So like, oh, that was the other ingredient I had in my sugar sauce, is was sake. Because it was a kind of Korean-inspired sauce, but I was going kind of mild with the flavors just because that first sauce just crashed and burned. I had put some gochujang, and some, which is a, it's like miso. It's Korean miso with hot red peppers in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so for those who don't know that, it's a red bean paste with hot red peppers in it.
I learned what it was very recently when my wife had me buy some.
Yeah. And so I had that, and that was fine, but I think it was the powdered garlic. Powdered garlic is a fantastic ingredient. I love it. But don't put it in a syrup sauce. It just doesn't work very well. And if you disagree, like, let me know in the comments how you've made powdered garlic work in syrup sauces. I know, like, fresh garlic can work great. You know what I mean? Like, all those Korean sauces, you go to, like, a Korean barbecue joint, they got all of the sticky sauces, the sticky sauce you put on your beef or your pork or whatever. It works. And it's got the big chunks of garlic in it, and that's like very Korean, as big chunks of garlic in your sticky hot or sticky sugar sauce. But man, yeah, that was no go. Anyway, so that's what I'm thinking. Maybe if I do a concentrate with some apple cider vinegar, maybe, or an apple liquor, and what is that Angry Orchards, like apple beer or apple something, maybe I could try that. Anyway, and then get that caramel to round it all out. Now, that's the nice thing about milk and butter flavor, is they help to just like pull all the flavors together and mild out everything. So that's why it's sometimes okay to go kind of heavy on the rubs if you have a sauce that's going to just warm you up at the end. Do you know what I mean? Like just cool everything down that's too hot, warm up everything that's too cold, and just bring it all together. And that's what's beautiful about butter and caramel especially. So that's what I'm thinking to do for my next kind of creative, either pork belly or rib. I think I might do rib just because I really liked how it turned out. Plan for kind of a harvest themed experiment.
Nice.
And I anticipate it'll turn out similarly to the ones we had yesterday, but not quite as salty. More on the sweet side. So anyway, you have any fun cooking plans?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. What you doing for Halloween?
All right, so Halloween, I was going to have a party, and then I decided not to. So I'm going to do some fun stuff with the family. I think I want to sit down and tell, like, classic Halloween stories to the kids.
Stay tuned next week for the tale of Stingy Jack.
Yeah, so that was actually what inspired me. So Chase and I, next week, do a...
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We tell you a legend of where jack-o'-lanterns come from.
On Halloween. Be a nice Halloween episode for you.
And it's good. It's family friendly.
Very. Yeah.
I think. I don't think we say a lot of bad words in there. Yeah, it's family friendly. So if you want to share that with your children or whatever, you can do that. And I think it'll be really fun.
Yeah, and you can learn where jack-o'-lanterns come from in the process.
Yeah, it's a cool little story. I didn't know about it. It's kind of fun. We kind of get into it a little bit. But I think I'm going to do something like that, where I'm going to find these stories. I'm going to sit around, maybe like build a fire with the kids, fire pit or something, depends on how cold it is. Tell stories, maybe carve some pumpkins, and do some cooking. I might even do that candy apple rib on Halloween, maybe.
Yeah, it'd be a good idea.
And then maybe do some like other cooking stuff. I've been really getting into cooking lately. So, I mean, I'm a decent cook as it is. Like, I've been cooking throughout my life, but right now I've been kind of concentrating a little bit more on it, particularly barbecue, but now I'm trying to incorporate baking a little bit more because, I mean, if you make some meat, you can make some bread, and they go together, and bada-bing, bada-boom, you know?
You can make a sandwich.
You can make a sandwich. And so, anyway, I'm pretty excited about that. I think it'd be nice to just be kind of chill, hang with the family, make some cool things we don't normally make, maybe actually make some caramel apples, do some just kind of creative things like that. I think that's fun to really use the kitchen as a place to bring family together and have some fun with it. And you've been to my kitchen. I've got that huge 10-foot counter space, which is really great when you're cooking big things.
Yeah, big old island right in the middle.
Yeah, it's great. So I'm really looking forward to that. I was planning on like having a bunch of families over and stuff, and I was like, nah, I'm having like a shindig the night before.
Oh, really?
A bunch of my kung fu buddies are going to come over. We're going to watch a kung fu movie, and I'm going to make some sweet and sour pork belly, and my wife's going to make egg rolls.
Two nights in a row would be rough.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's like, I'll go all out on that one. Because the other thing, too, is like, a Halloween party is for the kids. Like, it's for the adults, too, but it's also for the kids. And I can do a dinner party. I'm like a great host for a dinner party. But I am not really good at children's parties. Like, planning the fun little activities for them to do and like making sure everybody's good and all that. Like, that's not my jam. It's not fun for me. A dinner party is a blast. I love like dinner and a movie. One thing that I do a lot, and you'll have to come to some of these. Anyways, I'll open invitation. If you want to come to the Kung Fu one too, you're welcome to that. Just let me know. I just got to get a head count. But
the night before Halloween?
You're going to be gone, right?
I'll be in Florida.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So, but anyway, so like I'll do a theme. Like we did Russian and Red Dawn night a couple months ago. And we made piroshki and borscht, and then we watched Red Dawn. And it was just a blast, just getting together with friends, eating food from the thing. And so I just like to do that because it lets me branch out a little bit and do some stuff. Speaking of cooking, like Asian food, so I asked Jared to watch my kids so I could go to a buddy's wedding.
Okay.
And I was like, I'll make any, like, we'll make anything for you. Or my wife will cook. But I was expecting my wife to do the cooking. And so I was like, hey, my wife will make anything. Just ask for it. And he's like, oh, like Thai food would be really good. So my wife's like, okay, I'll go buy the ingredients for pad Thai. He's like, but I'm going to be working, so you got to make it. And I've never made pad Thai. It's like very different from other foods that I've made. And I've made a lot of different foods. Like, I'm pretty good at cooking. That being said, I was so flustered. She gave me like a YouTube video and a bunch of ingredients. And I had like, I hadn't been so flustered cooking something in a long time. It turned out so badly.
That happens.
And now he makes fun of me like every time because I like served him this garbage meal in exchange for his help. Like my wife ate it and she was like, oh, it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great, you know?
Oops.
But I mean, I've been cooking food like this last couple weeks, this maybe like month or so, I've been cooking food like top notch every time, you know? And of course, like I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to do things. Like I said, I threw that sauce out. But of course, I threw it out before I asked how it was. You know what I mean? I knew it was bad, so I remade it, and I made something good. And so making something that was just a total bomb was like, But it was kind of stressful, too. You know, like for me, like cooking's a work of art. Oh, I was going to tell you, I was telling other people this. I told my wife this because you were talking about like, oh, dude, like once you get a hold of this kind of smoker or whatever, you know, like it's going to be a game changer because like it does all the work. You just put it in and forget it, right? And I thought about it, and I was like, no, that makes sense. And I cooked with a smoker like that one time when I was over at Frank's house just recently. I made some chili that was quite good.
Shout out to Frank, our first guest.
Yeah, Frank. It was a good time over at your place. I like cooking in Frank's kitchen, too. It's a nice kitchen. But I was thinking, like, saying that makes sense, but it's kind of like telling an artist, dude, we have this technology where you can just like take a picture of that scene now and you can just print it. It's like, yes, you can do that. And there's definitely a place for it, but I want to paint that picture, you know? And so there's this hands-on artistic feel to doing it kind of the old-fashioned way that I think I enjoy and is part of the process where I'm able to kind of pour a little more love into it, if that makes sense, a little more of my artistic creativity into it, even if it's just managing coals, you know, as simple as that sounds. But yes, absolutely. There are devices, smokers, cooking things, implements where it's just like, dude, like bread machine, it makes bread. You just pour flour and milk in it. It makes bread. You know, it's like, here's my bread machine. You know what I mean? But, no, there's not like, I like photographs and I also like paintings. I don't like painting though. Cooking is my artwork, not painting. It's not my jam.
I enjoy painting.
I don't really like painting, and I don't really like woodworking, I've discovered.
I also enjoy woodworking. They're both kind of passive. I wouldn't call them even hobbies of mine, just something I've done here and there.
Yeah.
But as far as,
I should hope you like painting, or at least something like it, since you create all of our wonderful designs, like this shirt.
I didn't create that one.
Shirt. Like that shirt? No, you didn't do that one either.
I didn't do this one.
There was a shirt that you did. Anyways, we have shirts. We have shirts, and you can buy them on our description.
Yeah, and funny enough, I did most of them.
Just not the two we're wearing.
Not the two we're wearing. Yeah.
Yeah. Lixie did that shirt, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And then Dan Doherty, local artist here, Army veteran, really skilled artist, did this shirt. It's kind of hard to see in the video, but whatever. It's a really awesome shirt.
It is an awesome shirt.
It's a really awesome shirt. We designed it mentally, and then he put it together.
He made it a beautiful reality. He did a good job.
It is a great job. Not the cardigan. My in-laws gave me the cardigan.
The cardigan has very distinct hanger marks on it right now.
Does it? Yeah, my wife said that too. It's funny because it wasn't hung like that. She did this like really crazy special hang, which I'd never seen before. It was like a special way to hang sweaters so that they don't have that. But I guess that had already been there from before. Yeah, they're really stretched out, huh? Reminds me of the... Do your parents ever wear those, like your mom ever wear those shoulder pad, like suit tops or dresses? My mom had dresses that had them where they had just had like big shoulder pads.
Not that I can think of.
Yeah, that was a thing back like 25 years ago, 30 years ago.
Wait, 25, 30 years ago in Alaska. So we're talking 50 years ago?
Yeah, 50, 60 years ago in the States for sure, yeah. So anyway, so I've been getting into cooking and baking. So if you guys are listening and you're like, oh, that sounds intriguing, shoot me your ideas and I might just give them a shot and give you a shout out if they end up being good.
Yeah, what was there's a TikTok channel that's pretty famous that has a series called Snack or Yak. People send them ideas and they make it. Is this a snack or is this going to make you yak?
Oh, yak like throw up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I understand yak to mean to talk.
Yeah, you know. Snack or yak, is this going to make you, is this a snack or is this something that's going to make you throw up?
Oh, interesting. So they just follow people, they just receive things and wouldn't that be so funny if our show turned into a cooking show? Just like, they're just like,
where
you know
I
what?
Stand there and you cook.
They're like, we changed our mind. We don't want you guys to talk about politics and culture and communication and freedom. We want you to do cooking. Like Chase, the ex-baker's assistant, and Remington, the amateur barbecue baker.
I was a donut fryer who did a small stint as a
fryer.
Really, it was really a baker, but like I wasn't the head baker, but they didn't really have much of a hierarchy there. It was more like if you're a baker, you're one of the four who is a baker. No, go bake. So I did that for a little while, but mostly I was a donut fryer.
Nice.
Yeah, I was a dang good donut fryer. Proud of it.
Yeah, my next thing that I'm going to learn to make, I think, is I was telling you, like crème pâtissière, which is essentially pastry cream. So you might fill like a cream puff with it. You might put it in like an éclair. Something like that, you know, like that's the kind of the classic places where people see that.
Yeah.
But the reason I want to make that is I want to get into understanding like creams and custards. I love creams and custards. Like they're some of my favorite things. Creme brulee.
Oh, I love
I could eat
brulee.
That all day long. Do you know what I mean? Chase and I both love creme brulee so much.
You know what's really good?
Yes.
It's a good butter croissant. Fresh is just, oh, amazing. It has such a nice crunch. But then the
so soft and
the soft
the layers.
And oh yeah, it's
when you
it's
when you bite between like layer after layer.
Yes,
you know this
good
is really
croissant
good.
Is delicious.
Another thing on my list is what's that stuff called? Baklava. Are you the one who hasn't had baklava yet?
Yes.
Let me make your first baklava.
Okay.
Can I do that?
Sure.
Can I make your? Will you hold off on baklava until you have my? If you're given the opportunity,
you know. I've held off for 31 years now, but I don't know if I can do it again.
You know how it goes, right? Where you're just like, man, there's never any yellow cars. And then you go out driving, you're like, oh, yellow car.
Well, I'll be down in Florida. I'm going to sit down. They'll be like, hey, look, baklava is
you're like,
on the
do
menu.
You want some baklava? We got the baklava. We got like 18 different kinds. You have to try it because it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You got to be like, no, sorry. I promised myself to someone else.
Those exact words. Sitting there at dinner to the waiter. I'm sorry, I promised myself to another.
I promised myself to another.
My wife's sitting there next to me going, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I will make. So baklava is often a dry dessert. I don't mean dry as in like dry, you know, but it's a dry dessert, like often.
Unlike the gray stuff.
The gray stuff, yeah. So it's layered phyllo dough. It's got nuts, often honey. Those are kind of and cinnamon. Those are like the main ingredients for it, right? But the best one that I had was at this place called Souvlaki in Fairbanks, Alaska. They have like a little restaurant, like shop, like a little walk-in, walk-out, like place at a place called Alaska Land, or I think they call it Pioneer Park now or something. It's just it's a historical themed large park.
Okay.
So they have like some vendors there, not a ton of vendors, but they have some vendors there and they have the historical houses that are like 100 years old. Now down here in the lower 48, which is what we call these states, like 100 years, you'd be like, that's not really like a historical house, but people have only like European people have only been up in Alaska for like the last 100 years, not the last 300 years. So yeah. That's a historical house, you know? So you can go into those places. There's a little spot where you can go into a freezer that's minus 40. So you can feel it in the summertime if people who've never been for like tourists and stuff. Anyways, so they were operating at the fair, like the county fair. And I think I was working a booth for Dooney and I traded them some merchandise for some food and their food was really good. Like Fairbanks, Alaska, if you want a good food scene, go to Fairbanks, Alaska. They have a great food scene. They got fantastic Thai food, the Greek food, the pizza. Like, it is a fantastic place.
But do they have delicious gray stuff?
what was that? The foie gras?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah, if you want to learn about the gray stuff, there's a great video by Food Theory on it.
We did a reaction to that, didn't we?
No, I think we just watched it.
No.
Yeah, you were sitting over there. I was sitting over here.
Just for fun?
Yeah, we just watched it.
Oh, yeah. The Food Theorists did a video about the gray stuff on the Beauty and the Beast. So, like I said, if we talk about food, I could talk for a long time, you know? And anyway, so what I really liked about...
So what you're saying is we need to get you as a guest on a food show.
That's what we should do, yeah. Like, I'll go on a food show. But what they did, their baklava was not, like, dry. It was super just juicy. And by juicy, I don't mean, like watered, like, juice. It was, like, just sugary, gooey, like a really good cinnamon roll.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if you were to take, like, the gooeyest cinnamon roll you can think of and a baklava and force breed them, you know? Like, you know, like the... I was about to just use a really obscure and inappropriate reference from World War II, but I'm not going to. But if you could just breed those together, then that was the product that they had. And it was very...
I'm glad you held yourself back.
It was very, very delicious. I just realized, like, we're talking about something light and fun, and that was, like, one of the darkest things, like, that that happened on Earth. I was like, yeah, I probably shouldn't talk about that. But anyways, I'm going to make some baklava. Can we say... Popular?
No.
Okay.
Not in the happy fun episode. Okay. That's been nice and family friendly. Let's not end that at the very end with inappropriate humor. The adults got the joke.
I'm going to make baklava for you. I've never worked with phyllo dough. I've never made phyllo dough. I don't know if that's a thing that people do by hand or if they only use a machine. I might just buy the phyllo dough. I don't know. I usually make my doughs from scratch.
I don't know.
Anyway, so those are my plans for Halloween. Thank you for asking.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully y'all enjoyed this this nice chat session, kind of a low-key prep for Halloween. Hope you all have a great Halloween. Comment down below what you'll be doing for Halloween. We're interested to hear.
And please, if you have a good baklava recipe, please send it to me. I want to try it out. I've never made it.
So, I guess without further ado,
subscribe, stay dangerous,
keep your conversations tactical.
We'll see you next time.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.